Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem BPJ share number 121. Vice Primi joint share for both men and women, share number 121. We're at the end of the book, Setting a Table for Two. And here he talks about advice for wives. In relationship essentials, advice for wives. Number one, make your husband feel important. A man wants to feel competent and needed, heroic even. Many men feel very inadequate or useless at home, but they feel accomplished and more powerful in things that they do outside of the home, whether it's in their careers and in their learning or other accomplishments. And therefore, that's one of the main reasons they tend to shy away from home-centric activities and find it tempting to invest time and interest outside of the home in other activities at which they excel or do better. Whether it's, like we said, a career or learning or even, you know, recreational with sports, they just feel accomplished more. It's an assignment for a husband. They need to learn to place a lot of value on what they do at home. Now, on rare occasions when the husband does attempt to help at home, a wife often may be exasperated because there's relatively clumsiness when he gets the work done. And, you know, and basically she feels she could do it much faster and better, which is often true. But it creates a shame and a exasperation and things like that. So the way you work it is with patience and with encouragement and with sincere gratitude. You can help your husband develop a new skill set and in those activities that he's helping you out with, and to do them very, very well in an encouraging way. And even if you're, as a wife, very competent, very self-sufficient, still you could communicate clearly to your husband how much you need his input and his involvement, and acknowledge the areas in which he excels, whether it's his learning, whether it's his professional success, whether it's the tzedakah that he gives. Focus on that rather than the areas which he needs work, which is like helping in the house or relating to children or in-laws. And slowly but surely, when you show him this respect, he'll ultimately get better at those things as well. Very often husbands may have this tougher exterior on the outside, but on the inside, they're deeply yearning to be admired by you. They may not admit it. And the more you respect them, the more respect you will feel towards your husband, and he'll reciprocate in kind. So that's number one, to make your husband feel important. Second idea is not to be a tzaddikus at your family's expense. This is a big one, especially in a way, it's Baruch Hashem. In this generation, many really do want to strive in many ways, but not at your family's expense. So he says a rule of thumb here. A rule of thumb is that if there's anything you can do to reduce the amount of stress in your house, it's important to do that, because stress is a great enemy of marital harmony and tranquility. So, for example, if you have a lot of responsibilities at home with your family, it leaves you with very little time as it is. So, to spread yourself thin and commit yourself to too many projects outside of the house, that adds more stress, even if they're good causes or good shiurim or whatever else you do. So, it's important to budget your time, prioritize your obligations and enterprises. Don't burn yourself out for those outside activities. If those outside activities will bring more stress into your home, then curtail them as much as possible. Now, you may find these exceptional women, superwomen, so to speak, that they raise 12 perfect tzaddikim, and they're all ages 12 to 1, and you're always calm and have immaculate homes, and yet volunteer endless hours and energy to the Shul's Chesed Committee, to the local Bikur Chaylim, and to the Women's League, and to Hillim groups, and also effortlessly cooking and entertaining at home half a dozen new singles every Shabbos, a new guest every Shabbos, and the idea is, he says, very interesting, because a lot of women often are jealous or look up to or feel bad about themselves when they look at other women that seem to have it more put together. But remember this yesod: to compare ourselves against others is always toxic, and it's always self-defeating. So you never know the reality of other people's lives. You never know the motivation that drives them to behave the way they do. And you don't know the cost of that behavior. They have different personalities than you, different children. They may be paying a high price for their competency or what they're doing that no one else knows about. They may be these quote-unquote superwomen, but who cares? Forget about them. It only causes pain. Don't compare yourself to anyone else. It's great advice, by the way. You measure yourself against yourself. You be your best self. You know yourself well, and you bring out your best potential. You estimate what you can reasonably do, and that's what you do. So with all these things you aspire to do these outside activities, these wonderful things, if you can't do it without driving yourself or your family crazy, then don't do it. And don't feel guilty about it either. Don't feel guilty about it either. If let's say you it's a Thursday night and there's a women's group, they call you, they're having challah baking that night. It starts at 8 and it ends at 10, and then you have to come home and put it in the oven. And afterwards, if you know it's going to dry you thin, if you know that your husband or children need you at home, then there's a shikol hadas. And it may be, you know, on one hand, you say mesiras nefesh for the mitzvah of challah. On the other hand, you're putting excessive strain on yourself and on your family. So it needs to carry some weight. And don't feel guilty that you can't do everything. And don't run yourself dry. Only after you've fulfilled all the obligations of your family and you could still comfortably improve yourself and do chasadim and charity outside the family, that's when you do so. So don't be a tzadikus at your family's expense. Another piece of advice that he gives here for the women: respect your husband's masculine attitudes and characteristics. You're a woman, your husband's not a woman. Don't try to make him into a woman. Don't belittle the masculine attitudes or qualities your husband has, whether it's the physical strength, whether it's the self-reliance. Very often those are the very qualities that attracted you to him in the first place. The Torah expects men to be men and women to be women. Every gender plays an important role, the shared responsibility to perfect the world, to raise our children. And the Torah expects every man, every woman to cultivate those qualities of the other gender. Now that's called hiskalalus, shlemus. Meaning like this: a wife could help her husband, because of her nature, access and cultivate those qualities within his soul that are feminine qualities that he needs to have. So for example, if he's a macho, tough-minded, not so sensitive with his words type of person, his wife influences him to access the healthy feminine aspects of his personality, to be more kind and calm and caring and so on and so forth. The same thing, the reverse. A husband helps his wife access and cultivate those qualities within her soul that are traditionally considered masculine qualities that she needs to have. That's called hiskalalus, which is the Torah way of integrating. A male will always be a male. A female will always be a female. A male has to have that aspect of femininity, of masculinity, and a woman femininity. But nevertheless, there is a certain integration. You learn one for the other. But this culture that we are in tries to reverse and mix roles, which is extremely unhealthy. He goes through, I'm not going to get into detail now, of the culture's tendency to make men not masculine and not, you know, accentuating those qualities, and by women also trying to rob them of their healthy femininity, which what happens is it robs women of their inner dignity. It convinces them that fashionable dressing requires exposure of their bodies to behave a little more than sex objects, conjuring unhealthy, undesirable, unrealistic body images, pits them against male counterparts, convincing women to believe, you know, that they are worse off by the fact that they're feminine. It's a terrible tragedy. So the idea being is that men, yes, they need to be sensitive, but they need to have those male qualities, those masculine energy-filled qualities that your children need, your husband himself needs, and that should be celebrated and that should be cherished. Another piece of advice he gives is to express interest and excitement for your husband. Men and women have very different kinds of interest in sexual intimacy. As a rule, men are more interested in being sexual. Their libido isn't affected by exhaustion or by anxiety or by distraction or lack of connection that much. While by women, generally speaking, they need more emotional energy, and their libido is more affected by those factors of exhaustion, anxiety, distraction, lack of connection. Also, men may use sexual activity as a mechanism to release stress. Women who experience stress generally don't channel it into sexual direction. It usually goes the reverse. They shut that down. But once in a while, it's very important, regardless. And we spoke about this in other shiurim, but over here only mentioned briefly, that it's important to express interest sexually towards your husband. You know, in a tzniyistic way, that you're interested in being with him, that he excites you, that you're looking forward to being with him. It's a very important thing. Another piece of advice that he gives is to not psychoanalyze your husband. You know, it may be clear to you what's motivating and bothering him, but don't try to be a psychiatrist. You keep those insights to yourself, unless you're sharing an honest conversation once in a while, right? So, for example, if a husband says, "I feel so tired a few days," the right, normal, healthy reaction is, "You're tired the last few days. Did you sleep enough? Is there anything else that you think stress or anything else that may be contributing to your tiredness?" That's a practical question of concern. Psychoanalyzing is when you tell him, "Oh, you're tired." That means you feel guilty because you had a fight with that other guy in shul, or maybe that's weighing on your mind because of this or that or the other thing. Or, for example, he says, "You know, my right knee is hurting me lately." So the wife could say, "Oh, didn't you play basketball yesterday? Or didn't you like crouch underneath the couch or the table to get this or that? And you may have pulled something there," whatever. And psychoanalyzing would be means that you have a deep feeling of inadequacy brought by a recent incident at work. And sometimes your annoying fears express itself in physical symptoms, and this time in your knee. You know, usually it's healthier to keep this to yourself. So in a nutshell, he puts these few points across to make your husband feel important. Don't be a tzaddikus at your family's expense. Respect your husband's masculine attitudes and characteristics. Express interest in and excitement for your husband. And don't psychoanalyze him. Bracha v'atzlacha.